This is Mae Brussel, and it is the second half of World Watcher, a one-hour program, the second half of broadcast number 823. As this article from the San Francisco Chronicle, September 8, 1987, said, the relationship between the Vatican and Michele Sindona affair was bad, but Calvi was worse because he used the Vatican to help him borrow money in schemes to consolidate his financial empire at an institution where he was president, Banco Ambrosiano of Milan, and I mentioned that last week. Calvi was called God's banker because of his relationship with the Holy See, and he obtained the loans through the use of letters and patronage of Archbishop Paul C. Marcinkus, the tall athletic head of the Vatican Bank that became one of the largest shareholders in Banco Ambrosiano. Now, the reason I'm sharing all of this with you, it's material long World Watchers have heard, is that it's finally coming on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle, a little bit about it. Then it goes on, Calvi was sentenced to jail in Italy for fraud. Before his appeal could be heard, his body was found hanging from the scaffold of Blackfriars Bridge in London in 1982. His family charged he had been murdered to prevent him from making disclosures that would have harmed the Vatican and figures in the international finance. Italian authorities charged Marcinkus with taking part in Banco Ambrosiano fraud, issued a warrant for his arrest, but the highest court dismissed the case, and the Vatican lawyers argued that the treaty prohibits Italian authorities for interfering in the effects of the affairs of the Vatican. Now, it isn't really the Vatican, because Calvi and Sindona and all of them were involved with what is known as the P2, which was a worldwide organization for fascism that has its members here in the United States and in Argentina, and groups that helped train the Contras in Bolivia and all throughout the world, the Middle East and elsewhere. So it isn't just a Vatican affair, but they hide behind the skirts, and literally the skirts of the Vatican. Marcinkus said a few weeks ago when the verdict was out that he could be free, he said, I'm happy. I've always had faith in justice. And at the time the warrant was issued, Marcinkus had left his Rome residence to take refuge in the Vatican walls where he was hiding, but they said he has still remained under the threat of further legal action. So that was the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, several years ago, since the 1980s and 1985, there were two particular broadcasts, or three, that pertain to these matters that I'm going into now. Number 724 was about Bekir Salenk and Henry Arsan, and the links to the P2, the Vatican, and also to the Aquila Lara hijacking. And I did quite a bit on the Aquila Lara hijacking. I'm not going to repeat it now, but I will at another time, because now we can look back and say that Oliver North was involved with this, that Michael Adeen was calling Bettino Craxi, a member of the P2, who was in charge of the government at the time in Rome. And also I was talking about the role of Henry Kissinger and the White House to these particular stories. And this is very important, because Ali Mehmet Aja, at his trial, said that it involves Henry Kissinger and the White House, and they want to control the world. But last week, let me go back to the week before and lead up to the articles that are in the paper this week. 2 weeks ago on broadcast 821, I was talking about an article that came from Newsday titled Contra Arms Come from Terrorists. And this has to do with Manzer Al-Qassar, the Syrian, the largest drugs and arms family, the man who supplies the weapons for Abu Habas, who was behind the Aquila Lara operation that I was trying to expose and found things drastically wrong with the cover story in 1985. Now, we know that North and Hakim and Secord and so forth were involved with that. They were buying weapons from Qassar. His home base is in Vienna, Austria, and also in Syria, shipping weapons. Then the money, the weapons, would go to terrorists, and the money would go to Manzer Al-Qassar, and the weapons would fund the Contras. And in return, there was a lot of drug traffic going on between these various people and banks that are tied in to Hakim Secord and North in Switzerland. Now, the next week, last week, I had on my program number 822 several articles of major importance. One titled Drugs for Guns from Reader's Digest, an older article by Henry Arsan. Another one, Shadowy Army Unit Tied to Funds Aiding Contras. That was an LA Times article about Yellow Fruit, Credit Suisse, North, Hakim Secord, and their national international connections. And then the very important article that was in the New Times, the magazine that comes out of the Soviet Union, called The Mystery of Operation Demovent. And last week I talked about this article. It's a three-page article. They claim that the masterminds behind the Iran-Contra affair remain in the shadows. They have plenty of traces in Italy. And it goes into Judge Carlo Palermo, who broke the stories on Steve Baum on the drug connections that tie into Roberta Calvi and the Vatican Bank and so forth. Judge Palermo was investigating heroin that was sent into Italy in exchange for small arms that went to the terrorists in Europe. And these terrorists were linked to Ollie North, to the CIA, the Defense Department, and to Henry Arsan, who passed away in the prison in Italy, and to Glauco Partel, who worked with the American Secret Service, and a cast of characters linked all the way up to the White House into Ronald Reagan, associates and friends of Reagan's, and also weapon exchange, guns and drugs with Eugene Bartholomaeus in Sydney, Australia, linked to the Nugenhan Bank. I was running down an article that was very important because it cited the role of the White House, again, bringing it closer into what Aja was saying about wanting to control the world. And one of the goals was the strategy of tension, controlling it through terrorism, so that the TWA hijacking, the Rome airport shootouts at Christmas time in Italy and Vienna, the Achille Lauro, the shooting, the TWA, the one, the airplane that was in Pakistan that has never been solved, just the evening before Reagan is to go campaigning for the 1986 Senate and House campaigns, and the murders in the synagogue in Turkey one day apart. None of those have been really solved. And when they're solved, like the one hijacking of Achille Lauro, the main character, Abu Habas, leaves and isn't even in a prison or jail. And he's the one who works with the very drug dealers that and weapons dealers that Hakim and Secord and North are buying from. Now, with that long introduction, I want to share two articles that were in the paper this past week. Both of them pertain to the same people. And there will be much more coming out for a long, long time, I assure you. Part of a Washington Post story said, and this was in every newspaper that had the story, they had this quotation regarding a prosecutor's opinion on his newest case in Italy. He said, "Our work is only beginning," Prosecutor Augusta Lama said. "We are investigating along several directions. We will turn Europe, half of Europe, upside down." Now, that's a lot to do, to turn half of Europe upside down. So what are they talking about? After my broadcast last Monday on these operations of drugs and terrorists and that Demervand, the article on Demervand, the arming of the Iranians, the heavy arming of Iranians is payment for holding the hostages. Ronald Reagan's administration was sending all these arms to Khomeini. This is the article that came the next day on Tuesday, September the 8th. Italy arrests 32 people in an investigation of arms sales. This is Wall Street Journal, Laura Colby. Industrialist and son at firm, partially owned by Fiat, are held in police sweep. Now, this industrialist is a well-known person in Italy. I'll read you the way it goes. But the company they're talking about, where the arms sales are taking place, and the arms are going to Iran and the drugs into Europe and Italy, is 50% owned by Fiat, which is Mr. Agnelli, who's one of the most important persons, working with Henry Kissinger and on the board of Kissinger Associates, long close friends with ties to the P2, to death squads, to the strategy of tension. Now, the article says two top executives of a weapons maker that is half owned by Fiat denied accusations they were involved in international arms dealing operation. Prosecutor said could involve arms in Iran and also drugs in Syria. This is the Arsan and Alcazar contacts and terrorist groups and the Sicilian Mafia. So in 1987, we're back where we were in 1981, 82, up through these years. There are some more risks on this case. Fernando Barletto, a 65-year-old chairman of a weapons concern called Valsella Meconini, I can't pronounce the Italian word, Meconiscia, and his 33-year-old son, Giovanni Vaselli, Vaselli's general director, were arrested in a police sweep of 32 people on Saturday, charged with illegal arms sales to foreign countries and the illegal export of capital out of their country, according to the prosecutor, who is based in Tuscan, coastal town of Massa. This is in Italy. The elder Borletti is one of Italy's best-known industrialists and a Fiat board member with Mr. Agnelli, as well as a publisher of a respected business daily. The Borletti family owns 50% of Valsella, with the rest held by Fiat's Gilardini, SSPA unit. Separately, the state attorney in Linz, Austria, and again, Mr. Alcazar, is from Austria, just coincidental with Helene von Damm of Stanford Technology Training Group. The state attorney in Linz, Austria, announced yesterday that Peter Utterweger, former head of Voest Alpine's company, weapons manufacturer, has been detained on suspicion of involvement in illegal arms trading with Japan. Reuters reported from Vienna on those connections. No charges were made against Mr. Utterweger, who left his post in April of this year in a management shakeup at Voest, Austria's biggest arms country. Other people arrested by the Italian police include suspected mafia members, the crew of a Lebanese ship laden with arms and drugs seized off the coast last week of Bari, and managers of small import-export companies in Tuscany and Liguria. 13 more are being sought, including the managing director of Valsella, and middlemen who prosecutors believe helped orchestrate illegal arms trades between the Mideast and Italy and supplied international terrorists with weapons. Now, these are big corporations and very prominent people in Italy supplying terrorists with weapons, which is what the strategy of tension is. The very far-right wealthy people like Michael Adin and Francesco Pazienza, working with Alexander Haig, seeing that the terrorists get the money so that the government can make more police to catch the terrorists. But this article says it isn't clear that Valsella executives had any knowledge of possible connections with terrorists or the mafia or the drugs. Prosecutors wouldn't say. A lawyer for Valsella, of course, wasn't available for comment. Valsella, which sells anti-personnel, anti-tank, sea mines, has been under investigation in Rome since last month, which would be August of 87, with a French magazine publishing a report that Iran ordered 1 million mines from Valsella in 1981. 1 million mines. A French magazine reported it. They started arming Iran in 1981, right after Alexander Haig was Secretary of State and Ronald Reagan came into office. The weapons were flowing to Iran, and these people connect to American companies and American agents, of course. Fiat denied any knowledge of illegal mine sales. A spokesman said its investment in Valsella, of which they own 50%, was purely financial, and management is left to the two Borlettis. I'm only the piano player in the whorehouse. All the management of where you sell it. I own 50%, but this allows the plausible deniability. I can't believe that you can send 1 million mines and not know where the shipment is going when it's going to Iran, when you work closely in Washington, D.C., and with our CIA and intelligence and defense intelligence agency, and there is a limit, and they've held the American hostages 1.5 years, and this company, 50% owned by Fiat, which is, I say, Agnelli-Kissinger Associates, 1 million mines to Iran in 1981. And then it continues, Mr. Panabianco accused Valsella of selling 30,000 anti-personnel mines in late 86, 1 million in 1981, in 1986. They probably ended up in Iran. He said the mines were destined for the Nigerian army, but in reality they were delivered to Syria, and again Mr. Alcazar and the late Henry Arsan, via an unnamed Swiss intermediary and from Syria. The prosecutor said the mines could have been delivered to Iran. He believes they were. Military sales to Syria and Iran are banned in Italy. Mr. Panbianco said the Valsella received a second order. That wasn't enough. A second order for 2 million more mines this year. In 1987, he got an order for 2 million more mines. Okay? 1981, 1 million. Now, since 1981, this president has had this Armageddon philosophy. There are a lot of beliefs that Iraq knew they were hitting the start, that they were goaded to do it. They created the excuse for our large group of ships that is costing a fortune every day. I just read they had a cost overrun of $70 million already from what they expected. We are not going to leave the Persian Gulf, and the ships are aimed at the Soviet Union. Iran has a small part in this, just the border along the Soviet Union. And so in 1987, this same company, 50% owned by Fiat Agnelli-Kissinger, sent another 2 million more mines, whose true destination was again Syria, but perhaps to Iran. They believe they went to Iran. Now, the next day, that was a Wall Street Journal article. The next day, the Washington Post had a long article that was reprinted in the San Francisco Chronicle. And I won't do all of the Washington Post story, but I'll do most of it right now because it gets even more complicated and all of it fits in with things that I've shared with you in World Watchers for a long time. The next day it says, Italy tells a plot to swap arms for Iran drugs. And as against the Wall Street Journal article the day before, talking about the same people, the drugs become the prominent part of it. Investigating magistrates say they have broken up an illegal international arms ring that delivered Italian mines to Iran and involved Middle East terrorists, Syrian agents, Sicilian mafia, and European middlemen. At least 34 people, including Italian industrialists, again that Borletta, Ferdinando Borletta, have been arrested in the past few days, and the Italian news has dubbed this Italy's Iran Gate scandal. And it is part and parcel of the American scandal and North and Secord and Hakim, but they're calling it Italy's Iran Gate scandal. No government officials have yet been implicated, and they're staying a distance, of course, from this, but our government gives a go-ahead to their Secret Service, CIA, DEA, so it's just a technicality. It's like saying at the time of the Boland Amendment, no government person could send arms to Iran. Then you saw how the ambassador to Honduras was involved, the ambassador to Lebanon, the CIA in El Salvador, the CIA in Costa Rica, the CIA and the Defense Department, and Caspar Weinberger selling the weapons to the CIA, and the Secretary of State. And, of course, every agency, the National Security Council orchestrating this, every agency of our government was doing something that they weren't supposed to do. So is when they say there's no government officials implicated, you can make a parallel between the Iran-Contra story. Now, it goes on, in the latest arrest, Aldo Angaresa, a mysterious arms trader, left a briefcase full of incriminating documents in a hotel room. He later turned himself into police. 11 people are being sought. Rome's La Repubblica newspaper said on Monday, that's the same Monday where I was talking about these incidences that relate to the White House, that the dealing involved a plot to assassinate Ronald Reagan in Venice last June by shooting down his helicopter. Now, think back to the broadcast on FEMA with Ollie North handling the federal emergency management button and the things that would start the atomic bomb, or the situation that we're doing now in the Middle East to get that Armageddon going. And there was a plot that was involved to assassinate Ronald Reagan. And remember, in 1986, the FBI went to Jack Terrell to see about a plan to kill Reagan at that time. And this June murder assassination would have happened just as the Iran-Contra hearings were going on. But again, similar to Watergate, the money and the people involved might link right again to the NSC and the very people who have accounts such as the Yellow Fruit account in Credit Suisse. And obviously, for good reasons, this was called off because anybody putting it together might not have had difficulty if they're talking now. They still might know who the team was, but involved shooting down his helicopter. There was no official confirmation of authorities on some of these affairs, but they said this case will have wide repercussions throughout Europe. And then getting back to the quotation about this matter, they said, our work has only begun. We are investigating along several directions. We will turn half of Europe upside down. I gave you that quote before. The article said Lama and other investigating magistrates said the operation involved delivery of mines from Italy to Iran by way of Syria, shipping drugs and weapons to Italy for the use of the mafia and for Middle East terrorists. Italy bans military sales to Iran, Syria, and Libya. When the Italian Navy arrives in the Persian Gulf, the mines it will try to sweep out of its way of Italian ships, most likely, were manufactured in Italy, 50% by Fiat and Mr. Agnelli, and illegally supplied to Iran. And also, I have always referred to Henry Kissinger and the coup planners. I'll do more on that any little bit. The man behind the coups, as well as Alexander Haig. And there was a way, indeed, that they were going to get rid of Ronald Reagan. The article says that Prime Minister Giovanni Goria's government is bracing itself for a parliamentary debate this week on decisions about minesweeping force in the Persian Gulf, knowing that their mines are over there in Italy. Details began emerging last week after a Lebanese cargo ship called the Bustani was seized in southern Italy. Police said it was carrying U.S.-made anti-aircraft missiles, Soviet-made grenade launchers, bazookas, 44 pounds of heroin and 33 pounds of hashish. All 17 of the people were arrested. The arms apparently were destined for Middle East terrorist groups operating in Italy and elsewhere in Europe. Lama said the terrorists are believed to be linked to the Palestinian extremist Abu Nidal, accused of masterminding the attacks on Rome and Vienna airports in December 85. Now, that's the man that Ollie North says, I will meet him any time and place he wants, but not with my wife and children. Abu Nidal cannot come to my house. Abu Nidal was fingered as an agent provocateur and a part of the Mossad going as back as early as 1982. So that just several months ago, the Newsday article carried the links of very, very well-known people linked to Ollie North and the bank accounts, yellow fruit, and the drug and guns, the guns that went to Contras and the drug traffic. And they referred to the terrorist Abu Abbas, who is out free, who helped with the Achille Lauro mastermind that, and is not locked up by anybody and is free. And also, now we find, just a few months later, that the same people are linked to Abu Nidal, who masterminded the attack on Rome and the Vienna airport. And then you'll find that the Lebanese, in a few more weeks, there have been trials in Germany over the Lebanese who blew up the Berlin Disco, and they're linked to these same people. And the terrorists are exactly to the parallel of Otto Skorzeny and Stefano Della Calle, good teachers. Skorzeny's dead. Calle is a person who's been responsible for the strategy of tension along with these other characters and worked with the P2, worked with Jelly and Kissinger and Haig and Ledeen, who are linked to the Monte Carlo Lodge of the P2. But here's a terrorist, Abu Nidal, that is part of these operations, and having a company that is sending the mines linked in these articles that is 50% owned by Mr. Agnelli is just absolutely horrendous because of the implications of the terrorism that has been funded by the right, including the murder of Aldo Moro, and Henry Kissinger and his group have been linked to that. Many articles about that, and the international terrorists are getting closer to our White House, and not this week, but next week I'll continue and share some more material on that. But the article, after mentioning Abu Nidal, it said La Repubblica in Rome said the weapons were originally to arrive in Italy at the end of May or June at the time of the summit of the seven industrialized nations in Venice. The report said that the arms were apparently to be used to try and shoot down Reagan's helicopter. Two reputed mafia figures from Trapani, Sicily, Felice Carraro, I can't pronounce their names properly, I always say that, and Guido Coduri were among those arrested last weekend. They said the mafia was involved in selling drugs. Some of the profits, the money from the profits, were used to buy more arms, as well as to swell the coffers of the mobs and the terrorists. Now, try and open up the banks of Willard Zucker with the deposits of Robert Vesco and the deposits of Secord and Hakim and Oliver North, and get into the Credit Suisse that's been hanging around in Italy. One of the banks, there are quite a few of them identified with these operations, but also identified with these men. And wouldn't you love to see those bank records, which I'm sure we will never do. The article says industrialist Borletti, 65, and his son were charged with violation of arms laws. And then it goes on about his being chairman of this company, an arms manufacturer near Milan. And he's a board member of Fiat and of this old business called Il Sole 24 Ore, which is the business newspaper, similar to the Wall Street Journal. His son is the director general of the arms company. These overlap a little bit, but I don't mind repeating it because one is Wall Street Journal talking about the importance of these arrests and making the connections to the 3 million mines that went to Iran specifically. And this is the article connecting the drugs to those same people and to Abu Nidal, the person that helps make Ali North famous because they create the terrorism in Rome and in Vienna. Just at Christmas, you know, to make the impact stronger. Christians are going to have Christmas, and these terrorists are gunning them down at the airport. And this article continues that the arrest warrant says they sent arms to the Middle East countries, including Syria, and they falsely declared they were for Nigeria or they were for Turkey or Spain. But according to the magistrates, they went from Syria to Iran, weapons also. Vasily has been under investigation since the French magazine reported a month ago that the company sold his mines to Iran. And this article, for some reason or other, doesn't give the $3 million, which is a staggering figure. It's interesting how the different papers have different pieces of the same story. As a matter of fact, when this attorney was here working on that material that I referred to earlier last week, he said, well, when I'm in Los Angeles, I'll go to the L.A. Times library, use a computer, and look up articles on this subject. This musician had been killed. And I said, you're not going to find them in the L.A. Times. You have to go to about 20 newspapers. It's a mosaic, and you put the pieces together and get the picture. It isn't found in any single newspaper. So this article said that the lawyers for the father and son said that the arms were shipped legally to Nigeria, and then Nigeria sends them off to Iran. Fiat owns 50% of Valsela. The magistrate said the arrests were based on wiretaps of Valsela and several small import-export firms, and those are always the good cover. Also, they discussed the Lebanese ship that was seized. They said Angesa, this gentleman that left a note in the motel with these names, is an arms trader with double Italian and Swiss nationality, and he occupied the room the morning the papers were left and fled, leaving his briefcase behind, and then came back and turned himself in. Prosecutor Zakaria said Angesa turned himself into police. He declined to give the details of why he surrendered. He said that he also was working, or they speculate, as a spy for a Swiss security services at the same time. Lama said that 30,000 of the Valsela mines, ostensibly destined for Nigeria, were shipped to Syria by an intermediary in Zurich, Switzerland, and other mines were ordered through a company in Barcelona. The arrest warrants named two Greek ship owners who provided the Bostonnais and other ships for drug traffickers. Two Syrian Secret Service agents are also among those named, two police from the Syrian Secret Service. So there you get the story out of Italy that is coming in. It is referred to as a project that will turn half of Europe upside down. In that case, I'll have to start putting these articles in chronological order, just as I did with the P2 when it came in the shooting of the Pope. I have to put them back in chronological order and see how these things hold together. But I have been trying to keep up on the relationship of those terrorists to this administration and share that with you through various broadcasts. And I think that those two shockers this week are mind-boggling, and also the plans that included the plot to kill Ronald Reagan, because one way or another, he is very expendable. And with Frank Carlucci in charge now, they don't have to kill him, because Frank Carlucci can run this country, and his silent partner for the years that he left the Defense Department and then came in as NSC advisor. There's a few years there where Carlucci was working with Eric von Marbord. And I understand that von Marbord, who's part of ITSCO, the organization with Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel and Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins, is the operator that we don't know anything. I don't know anything about him or where he came from. Is he part of Fritz Kramer's operation? Is he a German spy that worked in our Defense Department, like Ernest Kaiser? Ernest Kaiser worked for the Defense Department. He's the one who brought in Edwin Wilson, and he's Ernest von Kaiser of the Wehrmacht. So Eric von Marbord is one of the secrets. Well, this is a very complicated story. I have another one in front of me a few seconds before time runs out about Masonic Lodge at the heart of the murder of the mystery in London. Again, it ties into the Vatican. And then the article says Pier Luigi Torri, who was forced to flee Italy when the stories broke about the P2, has exile in England. And according to the stories, Gian Anelli, the playboy head of Fiat organization, it works with Mr. Torri and is involved in the scandal, the P2. So that's Mr. Agnelli of Fiat, who is on the board of the Kissinger Associates and Ajah had mentioned kissing her in the White House. My time is out now, but with that broad network of things that are happening in the United States and Italy, I will continue along these lines with a lot more very interesting details for you next week. This is Mae Brussel. Thank you for the books and articles you've been sending, and I will continue on this subject that is going to shake half of Europe upside down. That's what they say.